This is Jeff Benson from Haunts for the Homeless, and you're listening to Wrestle Horror Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror. Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meet Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. With me, as always, my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, Halloween's closer, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we just had a weekend at the Carnage Haunted House here a couple weekends ago to get the practice in and get the blood boiling. So it was fun.
And joining us on this episode of Wrestle Horror is a Facebook friend of mine. We've seen each other a couple of times. We've talked here and there. He's a paranormal investigator. He's a haunter. So it just kind of falls right into this. Jeff Benson. Jeff, what is going on, man?
Not much. It's way early Sunday morning, and but I'm ready to go.
not an early bird, huh?
No, I'm not.
Unfortunately, my dog woke me up at about 6:30. Here I am. I've been up for a while.
Right.
Sorry.
I have grandkids, so that's how I get up in the morning.
Let's start with haunting. Jeff, what got you involved in that grand industry we call the haunted attraction industry?
Haunted attraction. Let's see. How far back do you want me to go?
Far back as you want to.
Okay. I've always loved scary stuff, ghosts, paranormal. My favorite ghost story is, this is early for me, Christmas Carol. I had games like, instead of Chutes and Ladders, I had Witch and Dark Shadows and the Haunted Mansion game when I was a kid. My mom, she told me when I was little, she would chase me around the house wearing fangs, you know, and scare me and try to, you know. Anyway, I'd always liked ghosts and paranormal. And I've helped out at a couple, like, haunted houses in the 90s. My friend had a garage haunt that I helped him out at. And then in 2000, I answered an ad to be an actor at a haunted hayride. And I guess that's when the whole haunted attraction thing really kicked in. Because I was there for 7 years. I got to know the ins and outs. I started off as an actor. Then I started helping design scenes and doing makeup for people, the other actors. And I played Beetlejuice for 7 years. And then that kind of closed down. And I moved to Pennsylvania. And I designed a small haunt down there for a laser tag arena. And then I was hired to go to Musquamacan Beach to help design their, they had a haunt called Bates Haunted Hotel. Okay. Bates Hotel. Yeah. And I guess Randy Bates didn't like that too much because we saw him in Trans World, but, and then I went to another haunt after that, Trails of Terror. And that's where I met Storm. Mm-hmm. And, it was like that. I've always been into it. I've always liked working them. I've always, you know, helping out. But in 2000 is when it really picked up for me.
Nice. Okay. So, you know, we've gotten your story in a nutshell, which is cool. I like it. I follow the timeline. Did you have a favorite character when you were performing throughout the years that you really liked above all the others?
Beetlejuice.
Okay. I was going to go that way, but I wanted to
have, and, you know, just tell my Beetlejuice stuff. So,
okay. Nice. Yep. Definitely Beetlejuice. Nice. Donnie's a big Jason fan. If you can see.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. That's my guy. Hey, you had mentioned growing up, your mom used to like chase you around the house, scare you and all that kind of stuff. No, was right. was she in the haunt industry or into that stuff? Or was she just like her way of playing with you?
Her way of playing with me. Oh, and okay. My father, my mom's passed, but my father's still alive. And he still tells me that he absolutely despises Halloween. And he's mad at my mother for starting and like putting it in me.
Right.
So to speak, you know, with starting with the fangs and everything.
Nice.
He doesn't understand it. He doesn't get it, but okay. If you, that's what you want to do.
Wow. Well, it's not for everybody, I guess. Right. I actually had to show my dad what I did once. Drew and I went down to a convention in South Carolina, and my dad came with us. And after he experienced everything that was a Halloween and horror convention, I had to go back to his place where he had more family over and friends before I caught my plane out. And he introduced me. This is my son. He scares people for a living. He never would have said that before if he had not gone to that convention.
Right.
But he understood, you know, I think at that point, it's like, I get it. You're weird.
That's how my dad introduced it. Yeah, introduced his thoughts about it with me, because I'd always be into Jason and scary stuff and all that, and he'd just be like, "You're fucking weird." I'm like, "Well, at least right. We agree on something."
But okay, so let's talk a little bit about paranormal, because when I put the call out for somebody to fill in for the person that's on here that's not going,
I know, rub it in.
You reached out to me and gave me a little bit about your background and what you've done. So I guess the first question is, what made you start believing in the paranormal?
That's me. Before 1990, mm-hmm. I'm not sure. In 1990, was the first time I saw the Warrens at a lecture they did out in Vernon, Connecticut. And I was just hooked. I never really gave it much thought, I don't think, before that.
Okay.
But I went out and studied everything I could. I studied demonology. I studied paranormal. I studied spiritism. more demonology than anything else. I mean, I was raised in a Christian family, Southern Baptist, but I think now I know more about demonology than I do about the Bible, but that's neither here nor there. And then I started doing amateur ghost hunting investigations, and then some friends of mine who were into it, we did it together. We went to Dudleytown. We've been to Barahack up here in Connecticut. These haunted villages. I've had a few physical experiences. And then in the late 90s, the Warrens were having classes up in, I can't remember the name of the town, but it was Northwest Connecticut. And it was on Route 8. And I started taking their classes, like $15 a class every week. You would pay up. I mean, talking about the paranormal and being psychic and clairvoyant and everything else. Excuse me. And then they ended up doing a cleansing of a house in West Hartford. Or I guess they were there the night before, and they said all hell broke loose in the house, and all the family was all gathered in the master bedroom, and it was like Aurora Borealis on the ceiling and just things going around. And so they're going to do a cleansing, and they asked if any of the students wanted to go. So I went with them, with some of the others, and they put me up in the attic with a videographer. And I guess the previous family that was there, they were all murdered, but they still had some of their stuff up in the attic. And that's where we were. And so we're sitting up there, and there was a couple police there, a couple Wiccans, just, you know, different, you know, people from the classes. So anyway, sorry. We're standing up there. all of a sudden, and Ed came around doing religious provocation throughout the house, and he went back downstairs, and then all of a sudden, and they turned all the lights off while they were doing this. So then all of a sudden, all the smoke detectors start going off in the house. I'm like, oh, this is it. This is it. And it was just their son, their son-in-law, Tony Sparrow, walking through the house with a burning bowl of incense. So that's pretty much all that happened there.
Oh, man. That's got a big high and then a low real quick. Right. He was just trying to help, I'm sure.
Right.
Oh, that is a great story.
I was really psyched. You know, we got out about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was real, I was still kind of hyped up from that. And I wasn't far from Manchester. Oh, I was living on the Manchester Glastonbury line. Mm-hmm. And so I went home, grabbed my dog, went to the huge cemetery in Manchester, Connecticut, drove to the very back of the cemetery, walked around just randomly taking shots at like 3 o'clock in the morning, just snap, 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 you know.
Right.
That was my big story about the Warrens.
Well, that's cool. I mean, that you had that experience with them. I mean,
right.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Jim, I'd say you'd made out, you know, you lost a newbie paranormal investigator. It's only done one investigation, and you gained a one that's already been to the house itself and has years of experience. And I think you made out on this deal.
I'm not complaining.
It's a nice way to put it.
I did get out of it for a reason, but you know, and decided to do virtual haunting instead. But yeah, I'll do it again one more time.
Okay. Well, that's like I said, you know, you reached out and said, hey, so I couldn't turn you down, man. And not only that, but you're right around the corner.
Right. Yep. Yeah. It's not too far away.
All right. Here's where my dumbness comes into play. What's virtual haunting?
Oh, that's just what I call the haunted attractions.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got you.
Instead of haunting and then virtual haunting, instead of, you know, paranormal, you got what we do.
Right. Okay. I was thinking like, man, look, they got like cameras in there and they just sit at their house and watch what happens, or it's like, which that's an idea. Set everything up and then get out of there so nothing happens and see right. What goes down.
So in your time as a paranormal investigator, what's the strangest thing that's happened to you?
Okay. With, you know, those friends that I mentioned earlier, we went down, there's a cul-de-sac. I live close by to that now, but there was this cul-de-sac. We would park at the end of it. And then there's a path that goes through the woods, and it goes to this old, old 18th century or 1800s cemetery. So we walking down this path, it's after 9 p.m. at night. And there's this huge boulder, you know, to the right. As you're walking down, I was like, oh, that's pretty big. So kept walking, got to the cemetery. It looked like there was some upturned earth. You know, there's some maggots in the ground and whatever. I don't know, somebody, you know, another religion, whatever, called, buried something or whatever. Anyway, we're walking back, and now the boulder's on the left. And there's only four of us. They walked ahead of me. And I'm just standing there, mesmerized by this boulder for some reason. I don't know why. I don't remember anything after that. I'm only relying on what they told me. So I'm staring at this boulder, and the female of the group, she came down. She's like, Jeff, are you okay? What, you know, what's going on? Jeff. And I'm just standing there growling at this boulder. And so she called my friend Scott. He came down, said, Jeff, are you okay? And he's like, I'm standing there staring at this boulder growling. And he put his, excuse me, he put his hand on my shoulder. Just as he did that, I snapped out of it and he kind of collapsed to the ground. And I'm like, you know, what the hell's going on? And so I saw him, I'm trying to help him to his feet. And he said all the energy left out of his body when he touched my shoulder.
Wow.
He said, I was just standing there staring at this boulder growling. And that's all I know. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. I was just blacked out.
Well, I'd say that's a profound experience,
right?
Wow. That's phenomenal. I mean, kind of creepy in a way. I mean,
yeah.
Being it was you.
I don't even remember it.
Right. Being told that, it's just like, wow.
Any kind of idea or guess about what it was or what was going on?
I have no idea. Just, for some reason, this boulder kind of caught my eyes. I'm walking one way, and when I came back, it was just totally infixed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you ever investigated the Conjuring House before?
No.
No.
Never.
You're that close. And you never did?
No.
Right? It's all good.
I hear stories, you know, people driving by, and it's kind of like the Amityville house where people drive by and they take pictures, and the owners get upset. And I guess the Conjuring House, the new owners, are the ones that sold it, kind of sued Warner Brothers, whatever, because now everybody's like camping in their lawn or whatever. So I just wanted to avoid all that.
Okay. That makes sense. Makes perfect sense. I understand the new owner is a little bit more strict than Jen and what's his name? Can't remember his name. But the previous couple.
Okay.
I also understand she's very nice. I have my sister-in-law has a friend who has investigated the house several times.
Right.
And has gotten to know all the people that work the house and everything. So she's been telling me a few things about it. And I still haven't gotten to the meat of it, like what she experienced, but
right,
I'm working on it. I don't want to know too much though, you know?
Right. Probably going to watch that movie today.
The Conjuring?
No, the
Sleepless Unrest.
Unrest. Yes, that's the one.
Yes, watch that, definitely.
Okay.
Because it's a documentary with that couple and a team of investigators there for like 2 weeks.
Oh, right.
Yeah, definitely do that. Just recently, I've been picking up some more gadgets for the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just found a third non-contact thermometer. I didn't know I had a third one. it was in a drawer. It didn't belong. And it's like, oh, now I've got three.
Oh, speaking of, before I forget, your dowsing rods are still at Carnage. And we were going to get them to you that Saturday, but you weren't able to make it. So remind me when Zucchini Fest rolls around, I'll bring them. Yeah. Or I'll have Mia bring them.
Yeah, definitely. You guys still have the shirts, right?
Yeah.
Are they just the same, just new or?
Mm-hmm. New and bigger for both of us.
Good. Sorry, we went on a wrestling tangent for a second, Jeff.
Okay. You can talk whatever you want.
You can see how structured this podcast is. We just kind of do whatever.
Where's Carnage at?
It's in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. If you remember Jason McCollum, he used to be a part of it. Okay. Well, he didn't know everybody. But Mia's good people, and she runs a good show there, and she treats her people well. And and you should see some of the scenery. They've got a swamp with water in it. I mean,
really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. New Orleans swamp full of water.
Nice.
And then they've got a above ground cemetery. The detail is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been they've been making some improvements too. It's even more detailed now.
Yeah.
And the swamp, like I said, a couple weekends ago, a weekend, a half of 2 weekends ago, whatever, we had a weekend extreme, just like for 1 weekend only. And one of our actors bought one of those like stretchy lizard type suits. And she got down in the water for the whole night. She only did it one night, but at the end of the night, she said she couldn't feel her feet. Her feet was frozen. So I'm like we should have wore like water boots or something. But yeah, but she was down there in the water and stuff coming up under the bridge at people. I guess it was pretty effective.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, back in, I don't know if you remember this. When you and I first met, I think it was when you and I first met, it was 2013 and we were making that video. Remember the guy, Carlos? I don't know if you remember him or not. It was on bus two.
Right. There
was a guy, Carlos. He was the one doing all the filming.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we went to, it was on the bus tour and I cannot remember the name.
We went to,
there was one place we stopped at. It had like two or three attractions there and the swamp one was closed, but they still had the 3D one open. And then they had an asylum at the other end of the building.
Right.
Is that the same place?
No, this is different.
Okay.
This is
all right.
Different. No, that stuff was in northeastern Ohio.
Okay.
Factory of Terror. The Akron Haunted Schoolhouse and Laboratory. And I can't remember the third one, but that's what you're thinking of. Now this one just actually had an original location and moved to a much larger location.
Okay.
A couple of years ago. And then, I mean, what was it? It used to be a bowling alley.
Yeah, it's a bowling alley and they pretty much gutted everything. And
right.
And so it's got a bar, it's got a, you know, like a little restaurant type thing and little concession stand and all kind of rooms. And it's pretty neat.
Indoor queue line.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So yeah, it's pretty good. And like I said, all the people that work up there are good people. So
is that an indoor swamp or an outdoor?
No, it's indoor. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is. I haven't seen it with water yet, but I will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, it's pretty neat. And they got it set up to where the water runs down. It looks like it's thundering. Like you'll hit a spot where the lightning hits and the thunder hits. And there's water. It comes up off the tin roofs and down the gutters and into the swamp. So it just kind of keeps rotating and filtering and stuff. But yeah, it's pretty cool setup.
Wow,
that is neat. Cool. I like talking all these things. Haunted.
You said it, brother.
Well, what about wrestling? Do you watch wrestling at all? Or are you a fan?
I haven't in years. I was a big, back in high school, I was a big, you know, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Jimmy Snuka, Andre the Giant, Undertaker kind of guy.
Okay. All right.
You know, been to the wrestling matches. Through the years, it's kind of dwindled.
It happens. I went through a phase where I kind of got out of it, wasn't watching anything, things like that. But now I do ring announcing for Donnie and commentary sometimes.
Right.
And there's another promotion down here closer to me where I do ring commentary or, you know, commentary.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a lot of wrestling.
Right.
Besides what's on TV. So yeah, it's this all started because Donnie wanted somebody to help him with a podcast and he was a haunter. And he came up to the Big Scary Show booth and he happened to talk to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the very last Midwest Haunters Convention in Columbus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was the year before they moved it out to Chicago. So, yeah. looking to get help on starting a podcast, and this is where we are, 150 some episodes in.
And I was just looking to step into a wrestling ring once. So
once Ronda Rousey joined the WWE, it's like, maybe I'll start watching it again.
Yeah, she definitely got the got some attention for it, for going there. So that's good.
Right.
Rowdy Ronda. Wearing Roddy Piper's jacket that first time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that. And Roddy Piper, he's one of the old guard that you just can't. He's, a lot of wrestlers are cookie cutter, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They broke the mold.
Right.
With Piper.
I like Bret Hart, too.
Mm-hmm. And Ric Flair just wrestled his last match.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was actually a good pay-per-view. We watched it over at the training center, had a little gathering, and that was actually a pretty good card. The whole card was pretty solid.
All right. Donnie, did you see Damian Chambers was on AEW?
I didn't go to the show, but I did see the pictures and stuff where he was there. Yeah, I guess he got a shot, and I guess Queen Amy, I heard, was there too.
Yeah. Sorry, Jeff. Damian Chambers is a local independent wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Who's wrestled for Donnie before.
Okay.
And, you know, we're all three friends, and I found out he was on AEW.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great feather in his cap. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
So how, obviously, the AEW is not associated with WWE, correct?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought that WWE was like monopolized most of wrestling, or at least they had been.
They're still the top dog, but AEW is an up and comer, independently owned. So they've been going what now? 3 years, Donnie?
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
Isn't it something like it's owned by the wrestlers themselves or something?
Well, Cody Rhodes and Young Bucks and all them kind of started it, but Tony Khan, he owns Jacksonville Jaguars, I believe, and a bunch of other stuff. He's the one that actually owns it.
Oh, okay.
But Cody and them were like critical and helping get it off the ground and pivotal in that role.
Yeah.
But now I think Tony and his people just kind of run it now.
Yeah, they all started out as executive vice presidents. Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes. There was somebody else in there too, I'm sure. They were all
Hangman Page, I believe.
Hangman Page, yeah. They were all executive VPs, at least at the beginning.
Right.
And Cody's gone back to WWE. So, but it's an up-and-coming show, definitely.
Right.
And now Vince McMahon has retired, if you can believe that.
So who took his place?
Stephanie.
Okay.
Stephanie, and she's co-CEO with Nick Khan, who is Vince's number two. So they're sharing the responsibilities, but she's chairwoman of the board.
Okay.
And the person in charge of creative is now her husband, Paul Levesque, also known as Triple H.
Right.
So they're already bringing people back that mm-hmm. had gotten fired under Vince's regime. So
yeah, Cross and Scarlett. I mean, I was happy to see that. And then on the other end, I was sad because I was like, well, there goes the Arnold. I was like, there goes their Arnold, visit. So I'm pretty sure I don't need to reach out to them now.
That's going to be a big fat no.
Right. But it's good for them, though, that they got brought back.
Oh, no, I think it's great.
I'm sure there's more coming.
especially being thrust that high up in the title picture.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff's like, okay, he's talking Greek now.
He's like, who?
We're going to forget about our guest here.
Is the Undertaker, is he retired now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I keep seeing him in the news. I don't know if he's coming back, retiring, coming back, retiring.
Nah, he's done.
Okay.
But if you ever get a chance, if you haven't seen it, there's a DVD out called The Last Ride.
Okay.
And it's about Undertaker's history from start to finish.
Okay.
About 5 hours long. It's well worth the watch.
Wow. Okay.
It's broken up into episodes.
Right.
But it's well worth the watch. I've watched the whole thing. It's just, yeah.
Okay.
Since you liked him, that would be a good one for you.
Right.
So anyway, where do we go? Okay. So I'm sorry, I missed the name of your haunt at the very beginning. What is it and what is it about?
Oh, we have a charity, 501c3 nonprofit called Haunts for the Homeless.
Okay.
And we make backpacks, to hand out to those on the streets, whatever we have, essentials, toiletries, food, clothing, anything we can fit in a bag. And then we started two haunted houses. They're small. One we got from Mohegan Sun Casino. And then that's our regular haunt. And then we built our 3D haunt that Stuart came and graciously painted for us. Stuart Smith.
Right.
And they're called Spirits Rising Haunted Houses and Spirits Rising 3D. And now, well, within the last year or so, we were actually in Rhode Island helping. We joined another charity called Help the Homeless.
Okay.
And we were helping to feed the homeless once a month out, in downtown Pawtucket.
Right.
So we're going to try and keep doing that. We lost our connection to that one, but we're going to keep trying to do that.
It's very, very admirable. Very admirable what you're doing. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Oh, I appreciate, I don't take compliments well, but thank you. If you don't mind, I was homeless myself. I was an addict for 7 years. And I got clean 2006. Something I wanted to do. I wanted to help because I knew what it was like. So I wanted to help others. I know it's not much. We're a small charity, but hopefully in time we can get bigger and do more. But I just wanted to give back and help those because I know what it's like.
An even better reason for doing what you're doing because you've been there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's tough for some people to admit. And, thank you for admitting that to us that, you know what it's like. And it's hard. I mean, yeah. I myself have never been homeless, but I've been close. I've been
like, right.
I couch surfed for months.
Right.
But not like you. And you've turned yourself so far around to where you're reaching out and helping these people because you know how they feel.
I tell you that experience makes you notice a lot of things you didn't notice before. Like you don't take a lot of things for granted anymore, like the simple things. And you're very grateful about what you do have,
Mm-hmm.
You're aware of what you don't have, but you're very grateful for what you do have.
So why don't you, do you have websites for all these different things?
The Haunts for the Homeless. I'm still working on a website for that. We're on Facebook. We have a Facebook page.
Okay.
I have my own page. I have my airbrushing business page. Beta Wolf haunts. I have Haunts for the Homeless. I have Haunts for the Homeless, Spirits Rising Haunted House. And yeah, so I'm trying to keep up with all these. And then I got the YouTube channel.
Well, see, I want to give everybody an opportunity to see these websites and Facebook pages and YouTube channels. So why don't you tell everybody what the addresses are?
Okay. Let's see. The Airbrush page is beetlewolfhaunts.weebly.com.
Okay.
W-E-E-B-L-Y. Haunts for the Homeless is on Facebook. Haunts for the Homeless, Spirits Rising Haunted House is on Facebook. I think that one is just Spirits Rising Haunted House. I tried to add the other, but it was just too long. The YouTube channel is youtube.com/Beetlewolf, which is B-E-T-E-L-W-O-L-F.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So a little crazy there. Is that it?
Right.
A lot going on.
A lot.
Well, Donnie, I think it's time for you to give him the question.
All right. Yeah, we can do that. Gregory put you on the spot here, but it's all in good fun. There's no right or wrong answer. It's something we do with all the guests that we have, and it's just our way of getting inside your mind and see if you're as twisted as we are, and most people are. Okay. So the question is, you are the main serial killer in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
Wow. Okay.
He's like, I got so many.
Yeah. Hard to pick just one. Jesus. Probably have to do with the basement.
Basement? Yeah.
My basement. Because this is an old house. There's like literally no insulation in the whole house. And I have cold rooms in the basement. From way back when. So I'd probably lock somebody in the basement because I have rooms with doors on them. The weird thing is it has one of those, those sliding doors, like in prison, prison doors where they open the door and throw the food in or whatever. And they close the door.
Yeah.
The one that's downstairs in my basement, in one of the cold rooms, it opens from the inside.
Huh?
Which is weird.
Yeah, that is odd.
I got another story for you if you want to hear it.
Sure.
The last year of Trails of Terror, when I worked with Storm, like I told you, Larry left.
Right.
He's the one who did the soundtrack. He's the one who made the storylines and built the scenes and did everything. Well, he retired. So the other manager, John, decided, they would write the storylines, and build, to get other people to build. But they hired me to, do the soundtrack for the Haunted Hayride.
Okay.
So I downloaded the software and I'm trying to learn it. It took me about a month and a half to come up with a 30-minute soundtrack because I had to listen to all the others and, time out each one. Because there's music for the starting and then the traveling music and then music for the scene and then the voiceovers and then adding all the sound effects. Okay. So I usually worked on it at night because I was working in entertainment at the time where they had weird hours. So I was working at night. And one night I was there like 3 o'clock in the morning and it was in this room, but it was facing the other wall. Dining room tables in the middle, the chandelier and the fan, in the middle of the room. Well, my desk was facing the far wall. And I'm on my laptop and I have my headphones on and I'm mixing this thing. Well, I see the shadow go across the wall. So I figure it's my girlfriend came down, get water, whatever.
All right.
I'm like, Don. I didn't hear anything. So I'm like, Don? I didn't hear anything. put down the headphones, went upstairs to the bedroom, opened the door, and she's snoring away with the lights off. I'm like, okay, I think I'm done for the night. I'm good. But yeah, it was like a shadow, a human shadow go across the wall.
Wow.
Nice.
Right.
So
another.
That is, I love stories like that. I really do. And I think they're fascinating because it just makes me hungry to find more and more as we go along in this
ride.
And I'm anxious to see what we can get at the Conjuring House.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think you guys are going to find some good stuff.
Yep. And you're not going to be there, Nene.
I know, right? So I'll keep rubbing it in.
Yes, I am. But I will bring, I will bring back as much as I can for you, Donnie.
All right, I appreciate it.
with that being said, let me do say that once again, we had a cause of our your way you want to kill people is unique. We have never had a repeat in the 100 plus episodes we've been asking that question. Everybody has a different way of killing people. There's never been a repeat.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Never the same answer.
Never the same answer. That's how we know people are twisted.
Right. Right. Always go with your strength. Yeah.
That's right. But the time is drawing nigh, and my partner has yet another podcast to do.
All right.
So we are going to bid you adieu.
Sir. Thank you.
So let me say thank you, Jeff Benson, for being with us. I'm looking forward to seeing you in just over a month.
Yep. I look forward to it as well.
And we're going to have a good time.
I hope so.
Relatively speaking.
Right.
I'm Meat Hook Jim. That's Donnie Hoover. That's Jeff Benson. This is the Wrestle Horror Podcast. Thanks for watching and listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.